House Committee on State and Federal Affairs to order, 1 p.m. July 1st, and we're going to go back and pick up some of the bills we had this morning. We had partial discussion on. I'll open a work session on House Bill 2009. I'm looking. I'm going to have Joe reiterate again the bill before we do any work on it.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2009 is the bill that would require the Department of Human Services to first consider the child's grandparents or other birth relatives as prospective adoptive parents before considering other prospective adoptive parents. This, of course, is applicable to children who are in the legal custody of the department. And there are two amendments that I've been directed to have drafted. The draft one would impose a right of judicial review pursuant to provision of the Administrative Procedures Act that applies to cases other than contested cases. And there is a proposed dash 2 amendment that arose out of this morning's conversation that would add a person with a caregiver relationship, as that term is defined in 419B116 sub 1, in addition to grandparents and other birth relatives, to the list of the folks whom DHS would be required to first consider for purposes of adoption before considering other non-relative and non-caregiver relationship prospective adoptive parents.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2009.
Representative Boquist has moved the dash 1 amendments into 2009. Comments, objections?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think quite aside from the larger policy choice, I think just on the merits of that amendment of whether we need to have a duplicative appeal right, that we ought to leave that out. The bill ought to go with the other appeal rights being were described to us earlier today. So I would say, quite aside from what we do on sort of the larger issue, I would not want to do the dash one amendments.
Okay. Objection noted. Any other objections?
Oh, same thing.
Mr. Chair, I did want to point out that according to part of the administrative rule process or internal bargain administrative rule 413-120-0060 and following, there are some provisions for interagency review of placements, and print 11 of said administrative rule does indicate the decision upon review by the deputy director or the deputy director's designee made as a result of the review is final and does not qualify for a contested case hearing. So I think that we certainly do need to have this judicial review provision moved, and I do support it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, just for the record, I mean, the same argument I had this morning, you know, when it's the grandparent out there trying to figure out what to do next, he's not going to go through 6 or 7 volumes of the Oregon Revised Statutes to figure out what to happen. And that's, of course, one of the problems we have now is people just don't know recourse. So I really think this reference, though it may be duplicative or is duplicated elsewhere, it makes a clear reference and then gives the grandparent someplace they can go in the Oregon Revised Statutes to find out how the process works. Thank you.
Okay. The objections to the are noted. Can we remove the bill, please?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2009 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
And also, before we get to that, the motion to put the amendment in, it is in the bill.
Okay.
And your motion is to move the bill.
Yes.
Representative Boquist has moved Senate House Bill 2009 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I do want to make a comment. I recognize Representative Barker's concern on that long term. I just, after seriously going back and reviewing the caretaker version of this, I mean, it just doesn't address it. Thank you.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barker?
No.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
I'm sorry, I said aye.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. Representative McPherson?
No.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2009, as amended, moves the floor if it do pass. And Representative Boquist, would you carry, please?
Yes.
I'm going to take that one. Open a work session on House Bill 2010. And Bruce Anderson, can you come up, please? Can you give us, Bruce, a kind of a rundown as you see the direction that the agency is actually given compared to the fact that they, you know, the information we heard this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Bruce Anderson with House Speaker Karen Minnis' office. This, as had been noted earlier in the day, House Bill 2010 was a bill that received some hearings in the initial committee that the bill went to, the Health and Human Services Committee. The kind of where this bill came from was out of a, I would say, personal experience of the Multnomah County Sheriff, Bernie Giusto. And I believe it was when he was chief of police in Gresham. There was a tragic case in East County where on a supervised visit, a child died and was murdered by the child's mother. And while, I don't want to go into any of the other details on the case because I don't know precisely, and so I don't want to misstate anything, but essentially, the caseworker, while it was a supervised visit, the caseworker was in one point, the mother with her child on the visit was in another area, and it was to the shock and amazement of the caseworker that this incident had occurred. The frustration that Sheriff Giusto had when he tried to investigate the homicide, and difficulty in accessing records and so forth, and just in terms of his conducting an investigation was a frustration point for him, I know. And so he came to us with this, came to the speaker with this idea for this bill to provide some sort of an oversight function over DHS and DHS caseworkers when it came to these types of cases. And so that's basically kind of what the premise for the bill, or where we kind of came from and where we're at today and why we're here today. Our feeling is that it's important to have some sort of a process of oversight to look into, to investigate, and so forth, issues relating to the protection of children. And I think what was contemplated by the sheriff was an internal affairs-like unit that would have some independent oversight over the department. So we would have, so the unit would be outside of the agency, could come in and be able to look into some of these issues. And so that's basically what's contemplated under this bill. It is appropriate for this unit to be at the Department of Justice, and I would suggest primarily because the folks in government who are dealing with the law on a day in and day out basis in terms of the various aspects of their job, whether that's advising, they do have some advice over agencies, but they're also engaged in a multiple number of areas in terms of criminal justice, consumer fraud, and other aspects of their department's operations. And also another point I would emphasize that I think why that's important, and that is you have an independently elected agency official in the Attorney General who can provide guidance and be accountable to the voters as well. And that's kind of the thought there on that. I do want to emphasize a few points. Number one, you know, we've got great people that are working at DHS, and I personally would take my hats off to them because that's tough work. But there are incidents that occur, as we've seen. And we need to have some sort of a unit of this type to provide some independent outside the agency oversight. And the purpose is really to help the agency. One of the things that Sheriff Giusto conveyed to me was that what an internal affairs unit did is really to provide it's to help as well as to investigate. So I think what's envisioned here is really to provide some sort of a framework for success, for the agency to be successful, and to help the whole process flow better on that. And really, the one point I would really like to emphasize, this is not designed to catch anyone. It really is to provide a framework for success so that, you know, we can look at some of the problems, correct them, and move forward. And one point of clarification I would like to add in, and that is this. There was a letter that was distributed from the sheriff earlier today. And the point I would just like to make on that letter is I do not believe that is directly, specifically addressing this bill. If you will notice, it's really responding to a request from Representative Dalto to the sheriff in terms of issues related to the Child Welfare Division and law enforcement agencies. And while he might be identifying some issues and concerns on his part with respect to that, I believe that that's kind of outside of what this bill is really contemplating, which is, again, an independent oversight over the agency. I would just direct you to the bill. I think there are three important aspects of the bill. Number one, it's to provide oversight over DHS in performing its duties relating to the protection of the children. Number two, it's to conduct investigations. And number three, it's to seek public input in the manner in which DHS performs its duties relating to the protection of children. And that last component was an important element that the sheriff, I don't want to speak for the sheriff, but this is one of the things he conveyed to me, was that it's important to provide that public input as well invest in this unit's investigation capability. And I would just close with this, and that is to say that the unit is basically what I would see as a day-to-day maintenance of the trust we as citizens place with our government in protecting the children of our state and our society.
Committee members, do you have any questions of Mr. Anderson?
I just have a comment. We had discussed earlier regarding investigations and how many and so on. In rereading this, it says may investigate. So we'll need to kind of keep an eye to be sure that investigations are being done and not just sloughed off, too. But on the other hand, this doesn't mean you have to investigate every complaint that came in, which would just swamp them. They wouldn't get anything done. So.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I might, I think that's a good point to emphasize. I think discretion needs to be given, and I think the Attorney General's office is capable of that. One thing I did want to point out that I wanted to mention that Mr. Shepard had referred to previously, and that is that it's the issue of what it is that the legislature would want the Department of Justice to be, how they would handle this operation. And the point I would make is the one in which they are determining how actions are being conducted under the law. And it's not, I would not see that the purpose of this unit would be to go in and review actions or judgments, I should say, of workers and how, whether or not that was good, but really how it conforms or does not conform to the law.
First, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Anderson, you use the term internal affairs unit, and I've never worked in law enforcement myself, so I'm kind of trying to putting a certain gloss on that in my own mind. I want to make sure it's accurate. My impression of how internal affairs units work in the law enforcement setting is they're complaint-driven. That is, somebody complains that there was unnecessary use of force or some other kind of wrongdoing by, say, a law enforcement officer. Then an internal affairs unit investigates that complaint to determine what merit there is in it and makes a report that might result in disciplinary action applied to the particular officer or not if it was determined there wasn't any wrongdoing or maybe an admonishment to do something differently. But it sounds like that's what's intended, is a complaint-driven process in which somebody who is aggrieved about how DHS is performing its child protection functions could then come forward to this unit, which is, I think, not really literally an internal affairs unit because it's external to the department, but that is DHS, but would be a place where they could come and present their complaint. It would be investigated and some kind of report made. Is that a fair characterization?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, there are others on your panel, I think, who could better address the issues of the inner workings of an internal affairs unit in a police agency. I guess I would point to the language in the bill with respect to that it's providing oversight in the manner in which the Department of Human Services performs its duties relating to protection of children, that they're able to conduct investigations. I don't think that it's contemplated, and I would say it's not contemplated, that this is purely a complaint-driven effort. Whether there is wrongdoing that has occurred, or whether there is an egregious case that has occurred, such as happened in the case I cited earlier, it would seem to me that this unit would be able to go in independently and conduct that investigation. As a matter of fact, one of the items that is noted in the bill is that this unit would have the ability to enter a local office of DHS at any time for the purpose of conducting the investigation, and that they would be able to review case files or other information DHS has relating to protection of children. And then sub 3 discusses additional activities whereby they investigate complaints. And I would, again, I'm not an expert on internal affairs units, but I believe they're more than just complaint-driven.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. That's helpful to a point, but the phrase "shall provide oversight of the manner" is that's very broad language. So that, for example, it could go to an issue of, it could be, for example, a financial audit to see whether the staffing structure and organization is such that we're delivering services efficiently, or it could be a review to make sure that the caseworkers weren't padding the sick expense accounts, and it could be quite a wide-ranging scope of oversight that would be performed, and I'm trying to get a handle on what it is we're asking DOJ to do, and so you understand where I'm headed. This morning, we heard from the department that they couldn't put a fiscal on this bill because they couldn't tell well enough what it is that they were being asked to do. So my next bit of input will be from the department to say, okay, now do you know, from that the discussion this afternoon, what it is you're being asked to do so you can tell us what it will cost? So what am I assuming correctly that, say, a financial audit kind of analysis would not be part of what we're asking for?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, languages can be interpreted different ways, I suppose. Somebody could presumably look at language and kind of push that in the order in which they would want to. I would think, though, that their focus would be more related to what is in terms of protecting children, and I would see that more in terms of some of the case that I cited earlier in terms of how caseworkers are dealing with their charges or their cases that are under their guidance and direction in the course of doing their job and protecting children, as opposed to how an agency functions with respect to financial accounting and office procedures and that type of thing. I don't think that I think it's in terms of getting into areas of, I think audit was mentioned earlier today. I think that's outside of the scope of this bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Boquist. Thank you. Bruce, just correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I have this. I've not been involved in internal affairs type thing either, though I have a related occupation that's close to it. What you're really describing to me is an independent inspector general function. Does that sound close?
Chair Krieger, Representative Boquist. I would say it's very similar to that, although in this instance I would say it's more focused more on protection of the children, as I just mentioned, rather than getting into, you know, other issues of accounting or,
right,
you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, so to follow up, Mr. Chair. So it seems to me what we're talking about is trying to create an independent inspector general focused down on the children and protecting children and ensuring that we're complying with the right laws and we're doing what's best, so on and so forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Where's the floor? Do you have anything at all?
No, sir.
Can you make a motion as well?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2010 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Boquist has moved House Bill 2010 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I've heard what was intended by the bill. What I heard this morning was that there wasn't enough in the bill, and I'd have to say, despite the presentation that was just made, I don't think there's enough in the bill to tell the department what to do. And if we could invite somebody from the department, I see that Pete Shepherd is in the room, to see whether he thinks he has guidance, although I'd say the condition of the bill is such, I'm concerned that he doesn't. So I'd say at this point, I'm still a no on the bill, even though there are things that could be done to it, perhaps, that would bring me around. But it may be a bit more important to move the bill than it is to try and do that work.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the bill?
I'll just say briefly, I think it's actually a better description being oversight rather than internal affairs. And I think we're going to have to adjust this in the future because it is too broad, but I'll support it today.
Okay, thank you. To call the roll, please.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Forrest?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
No.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2010 passes to the floor. Do pass. Representative Flores and Representative Boquist, would you co-carry, please?
Yes, sir.
Delighted. Close the work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 899. I'm only going to have invited testimony. Gina, is it Matt Teota? Or close?
Okay.
All right. Please identify yourself.
Record. Good afternoon. I'm Gina Mattiota. I'm the director of Multnomah County's Public Affairs Office, and I'm here representing the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. We are in support of the 7.89 presented to you in the Ann Gross. We do not see the necessity for the dash A8, which would make all other 35 counties in a position to voluntarily create a TSCC and require Multnomah County to be the remaining county with a TSCC. I'll keep it brief because I know you have a very long agenda, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay. Committee members, do you have any questions?
I just want to be sure. Multnomah County wants to keep that and doesn't mind yet that you don't want it.
No, we prefer to have the bill passed and what is presented in front of you. We are not supportive of the proposed amendment, the dash A8. We support the Ann Gross.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I apologize if there was any confusion.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there was some discussion earlier today about the presentations that had been made or not made by various players and who are involved with the commission as it's operating in Multnomah County. Has there been any input from any agency, district, jurisdiction of government that is under the oversight of the commission that said they want to retain Multnomah County's commission?
Mr. Chair and Representative McPherson, to my knowledge, the only entity that has testified in support is the TSCC themselves. None of the 35 special districts, which include everything from regional government to water districts, have expressed any written or verbal opposition to this. The Senate Bill 899, or Senate Bill 8, 99A, which you do have a copy in your folder. So, no, to my knowledge, no district that is has provided any testimony or verbal comments that they oppose the current bill in front of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Committee members, do you have any questions? Others? Okay, there's a few questions that I think still have to be answered, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you for your testimony and close the work session on Senate Bill 899. Carry it over until probably July 6th, about 1 p.m. We'll take a look and see what we've learned since then. It could be even carried after that. We don't know yet. SJR 10 also will be carried forward till July 6th at 1 p.m. Open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1032A.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1032A requires a Metropolitan Service District to establish a process to expand the urban growth boundary in order to accommodate the need for land for a public school that cannot be accommodated within the existing urban growth boundary. The bill would require that a Metropolitan Service District, at the request of the Heights Growth District, assist the school district to identify school sites that are required by the city or county facility planning process. This bill was heard before the committee on the 23rd, at which time the committee received testimony in support of the bill from Gary Conkling on behalf of the Beaverton School District and Randy Tucker on behalf of Metro. Both of them are in the room today and are prepared to answer any questions but are not signed up to testify.
Okay. Can members, do you have any comments or questions on the bill?
No. Motion. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1032A to the floor with a due pass.
Randy Boquist has moved Senate Bill 1032A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Martin? Aye.
Representative
Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Chair Peters?
Aye. Senate Bill 1032 moves the floor of the due pass recommendation, and Representative Barker said he would be willing to carry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There is a group that want to get together for another shot at a couple of amendments. Thank you, Randy. On Senate Bill 572, so we're going to move that forward until next week also.
It depends.
I know.
If we're going to be here.
Yeah. Not up to me.
I told my friend lawn chairs and a hot dog down on the grass.
Yeah. Well, the question earlier was who's bringing the beer and who's bringing the burgers for the barbecue on the 4th?
That's what.
I was worried. I'm still worried because we are on the 4th and doing exactly that.
I don't think. No, I don't at all. I think it's fine.
Because we're like, I'll bring my barbecue in the back of the truck.
So we're going to start. We do what we ask. That's fine with me.
I haven't shot off yet.
Maybe you could shoot a seal. Are we waiting?
We'll just stand at ease until we get some staff up here.
Somewhere on this
reconvene the House Committee on State and Federal Affairs and open a work session on Senate Bill 311B. Go ahead and go down the bill.
No.
Senate Bill 311, and you should have the B engrossed version of the bill, passed the Senate on a vote of 29-0. And would require the Department of Consumer and Business Services to regulate medical exams for workers' compensation claims and to maintain a list of providers that would be authorized to perform independent medical exams. It requires the agency by rule to set standards for certification of medical examiners, to develop and approve training, to develop a process for investigation of complaints, and to set criteria for sanctions under the medical exam program. The bill in the Senate did go to the Senate Budget Committee, and there was other funds expenditure limitation increase placed so that the bill could be implemented. Mr. Chair and members, you do have a budget report from the Senate Budget Committee, and you should have also in your packet the executive summary of the workers' compensation insurer medical exam study. The Department of Consumer Business Services did a survey and has results of that survey about the whether the medical exams are perceived to be independent and some other issues related to travel time for workers and some dissatisfaction with the current system. So that's the impetus for the bill. And there's a number of people here that can speak to the results. We have not heard any opposition to the bill, and Mr. Chair, the bill does have a subsequent referral to the Budget Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll just hold for a minute here. Did any members have questions of staff?
Due to the fact that we had this schedule, I believe, was it 3:15? I want to make sure that if there was anyone who was in opposition to the bill, that they weren't, you know, is there anyone in opposition to the bill?
Okay, thanks.
All right, go ahead and make the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move we refer Senate Bill 315B to the Committee on Budget with a due pass.
Representative Boquist has moved that we refer Senate Bill 315 to the Budget Committee with a due pass. Excuse me, 311 to the Budget Committee with a due pass. Any further discussion? Okay, all right. We're going to be on a call in just a minute, so let's get the vote done. Take the vote, please.
Representative
Barker?
Aye.
Representative
Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Forrest?
Aye.
Representative
McPherson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. Senate Bill 311 moves to the budget with a due pass. We will not need a carrier, and we're under a call. So we are close the work session on Senate Bill 311 and close the committee.
Okay.
No, he's saying
we're done. We're done.